This is CliffCentral.com.
We bring in interesting people. This morning we got Danny Kay and Cabello, both of them coming in. I haven't spoken to these two since Mendoza died, and I thought, you know, they were both close to him as well. I'd like to catch up with them about him. There's lots to talk about. Danny Kay and Mendoza, everybody. I want to love to live. I want to love to live. This is a new Danny Kay song. I want to love to live. I want to love to live. What the hell was that? Did you press the doorbell? What's going on?
I'm sorry. I thought I was doing it quietly, silently. You wouldn't affect anyone.
No. I don't know what you're doing over there. All right, let's get them in here. Flex, what are you waiting for? Come on, for God's sake. Here they are. Yo, yo, yo. Look at you. How are you, animal? Grab a seat. What the hell did you do? Cut yourself shaving, Cabello? What's going on there? You trying to commit suicide or is it a shaving cut? How are you? They got to go around the room and say hello to everybody first. How are you? Cool, man. All right, go on. Grab a seat. Wait, can you two sit down? The entire audience is waiting for you to say hello to everyone.
We're getting hugs and handshakes all around.
Nice to see you. Good, good, good. Come
hello.
Sit down. Hello, Daniel Kay.
Hello, Gareth Cliff. How are you?
How nice to see you. It was a nice song, by the way.
Thank you, man.
Very nice. Well,
it's
you know.
Good to be back here. Sure.
Well,
it's been a while.
Good yonta for Wednesday. Did you have a nice day? Fasting and davening and carrying on.
I lost about it. Half a kilo.
Really?
And then I put it all back on in the dinner.
Yeah, you fresh like a monster.
Yeah, you're calling deprived Jews of food for like 12 hours. You don't know what goes on. Just like a
hello,
war.
Cabello Mamalan.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good, man. Good. What did you do here? You got a plaster on your neck.
I was in hospital yesterday.
I thought it was just a shaving neck.
I went
but
in
it's
for the day. I
plaster.
Had like a gland vibe going on there. It was benign, but it needed to be removed.
Is it a growth? Do you have a... is it a goiter? What's going on there? Come on.
I don't know what it was, but I'm glad it's gone.
It's not cancerous, right?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No,
you don't need that.
Not at all.
You got a family. Are your pensions all paid up?
Yeah.
Life insurance?
We sorted everything. Everything's yes, cool, yeah.
Now, listen. There's so much to catch up on with you two. And for the first time in a long time, I don't need to talk to you about music because you've all got so much going on. We don't even have to refer to music this morning.
Now
listen, let's just start with one thing. Danny Kay, is it true that you are now like Willy Wonka? You're a sweet manufacturer. Is this what you're doing?
I'm the sweetie man.
The sweetie man.
Hello, sweetie man.
Sweetie man.
What is this? Tell me what's going on here. Is this your diversification of your portfolio?
Yeah, this is hedging my bets when the music industry turns to shit. Which is inevitable.
Yeah.
And then we're going to just get kids hooked on sugar. It's been an interesting experience. I had a friend of mine that was very involved in the business,
uh-huh.
And he left his company and wanted to start something up. So I wanted to invest in it, and the growth in it's been pretty amazing. And
so what kind of sweets do you make?
Gareth, we make the most amazing Aussie licorice.
Mm.
In
what's Aussie licorice?
It's kind of like the Australians for some reason have like become the world leaders in licorice. So our recipe's from Australia, and we make strawberry, we make original, we're making apple, mango. Beautiful, and it's available.
And you didn't bring me any, you schnorrer.
I'm going to actually, you know what I'll do? So the company's called Knockadoodle. We're going to send you a basket of all of our sweets.
You are a schnorrer.
And we're going to get you hooked.
And the Steers burgers, where are those?
where are the Steers burgers at?
He's got vouchers.
It's 8 in the morning. We could have a Steers burger. Now, what is the Shark Burger while we're on that? What is that all about? I saw you advertising this
everywhere. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, to stay relevant, and you got to come up with different innovative ways to raise money so that we can carry on doing the work that we do. And Steers kind of saw us, you know, being still in the marketplace, you know, doing good, building the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is the work that you guys are doing with Shout, right?
Yes, yeah, it's the work we're doing in Shout. And they said, like, guys, why don't we, you know, form a partnership? And we'll give you all the proceeds from all the burgers that we sell.
That's
we aim
fantastic.
To sell 1 million burgers. They've designed the actual Shout Burger combo. available, you know.
And this is not to supplement Danny's sweet income. This is to help build the library.
No, we get no money.
Do you know the funniest thing?
Personally,
I was at a, we don't even get burgers.
We waited.
Listen, I was at a gig.
Yeah.
And I won't mention who it was. It's two people convinced that we're making so much money from Shout.
Really. You know, it's truth, and we'll put it on record on your show that we don't draw a salary out the NGO. In fact, we have very little overhead at Shout, which
it's probably cost you money.
Yeah, yeah, lots of money, and more time than anything else. Time. You know, lots of time, and we don't have an office. We keep our overheads absolutely, you know, low as can be. And we
everybody who works with us, advertising agency, brands.
It's PR teams.
It's all people with a kindred spirit who want to see this place.
And we donate all the money, and we've built five libraries now. I mean, they're the most incredible buildings that are functioning.
Yeah, I've seen them. In these
great primary schools that really need them. And from the Shout combo alone, we'll build another four across the country. Oh. And we committed to building another two ourselves every year. So, you know, between all of this, I'm hoping in the next, you know, 2-3 years, we'll have 20, 25 libraries, Shout libraries.
And then the fees must fall, kids, or burn them down.
Well, you know, luckily our libraries haven't been vandalized. They're in primary school, so you know, the kids are a bit...
We'd want to teach them otherwise before they get to the tertiary level, and you know.
Do you know why you said at that gig these people come up to you and they think you're making money out of Shark and everything else? Mm. Because you two have done everything right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like if I were a musician and I met you two, I would either hate you or I'd feel very intimidated, because you both have had successful music careers, right, in your own right, and with collaborations with everybody else.
Sure.
You kind of fly on a different level to other people.
Sure.
When it comes to how your music careers went. And then you got together and you figured out, well, there are ways we can amplify this, which you started to do too. You both got beautiful wives, the most beautiful wives.
We do have.
There is no.
Okay,
you have
argue.
Beautiful wives.
Because my wife's listening. Yes.
You're both successful outside of the music business as well. It must make other people crazy.
Well, listen, it's very kind
of you. The kids, you got the kids, the healthy, happy children.
You know, the truth is, Gareth, what I saw in Kabila was the reason that, you know, I thought he would be the most perfect partner to do Shout for a Safer South Africa, because I knew, you know, the way his universe operated and how he operated within his work. And
talking to the microphone.
Sorry. Is this what this thing is?
For a singer, for God's sake. Don't you know what a microphone is for?
I thought it was just a piece of metal. It's been very successful, I think, by virtue of that. But as Cabello says, you know, we were adamant about one thing with Shout. We knew people were going to be cynical about the work that we did. It's always the case in South Africa, because there are so many stories of misappropriation of funds. Mm. I mean, you know, our country's riddled with it. Mama Jackie, it all be, you know, all those stories. I'm sure you know all those stories.
Shame.
Right?
True.
And we have a great auditor.
Mama
that audits.
Jackie, you just reminded me. I forgot about her. That was a good story.
Yeah, it was a good story. But yes, unfortunately,
the Oprah vibe.
She took Oprah's money.
Oprah, yeah.
You gotta be.
She took Oprah for some money. That's some operation.
Yeah,
huh?
you gotta be good
to take Oprah. Yeah.
But the time was rough in our country. Madiba was still alive. I think you could fly overseas and.
If you just know, said his name,
yeah,
people would give you
name
money.
And people would just throw
money.
Yeah,
but
it
made people very cynical. You know, and like, we've always tried to, from auditing our NGO and showing that there are no salaries, you know, we show all our costs, you know, we show what we make, we give away 95% of whatever comes in the bank account to keep our tax exempt status, to keep our NGO status. So, yeah, I mean, we're very frugal, and we donate this money. We really do.
There's something about that that's also an element of what really successful people do, is that they realize that giving back is the most important part of staying not only on top of your game and making a difference for other people, but driving the whole country forward. You know, like, we've all got to do our bit.
100%. Yeah. Citizenship is
spot on, yeah. Cabello. Yeah. Now, I had Colin Coleman from Goldman Sachs on the line just now talking about Praveen and all of this controversy that's going on at the moment. And I said to him, what can ordinary people like us do? And he said, well, we've got to do what we can to employ, to create opportunities for people who don't have jobs, to integrate more people into the economy. And if you start with kids at school and reading, that's the most important first step, right? which is why you decided to get involved.
Well, we go to these schools, and you know, in the first day the library arrives, we have a big opening, we sit with the kids, and we tell them to read to us. And you just cannot believe how many primary school kids cannot read properly. And, you know, if you don't have that basic skill as a young person, you know, what future do you have? So putting these in there and encouraging these kids to read and, you know, try and pass, eventually get a matric, hopefully go to a university, that's the objective.
Burn it down.
And also, I think, I mean, you know, what's bigger than that is what you've said. I think what's remained very important to me is staying in the game, because that also inspires other people to, you know, do whatever they can do in their communities. Because when we close shop, I think it's almost like, you know, I've seen a meme that says, you know, don't stop what you're doing because you don't know who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's people out there who, I think by virtue of us carrying on, you know, they feel, okay, you know what, it's high time I did something where I'm at, you know.
All these lazy, useless people who feel that they want to complain about the country the whole time and say what's wrong. Go out and buy yourself a burger, for God's sake. Sure. We're not asking you to do anything that you wouldn't do anyway, you fat lummox. Go and eat a burger and you
for
can
breakfast.
Help. Yeah, for do nothing for anyone else. And you know what? You can still end up doing something for someone
That's
else.
That's very true.
Well, that was the great thing about this campaign, was that it's like it took very little effort from people. I mean, it really did.
People are so lazy.
No, I mean, you can sit down, eat a great Steers burger, chips and a Coke. I think it's...
Just make sure that you order.
We gave away a car the other day. I mean, that woman was sitting in her office listening to a radio station. She sent the SMS, you know, she followed the promptings, and she won a car. We gave away a car the other day.
Fat lummox.
But it's true, right?
Some auntie from I can't remember
where.
Pretoria.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's just as bad, really.
Yeah, she's
well, good for her.
Yeah.
See? And it's funny, like, it's so easy to make a difference, and in little ways like this people do, but it takes a huge amount of effort when you actually ask people to part with money or part with their time. And
well, that is why our model was always very different, Gareth, is because, you know, being musicians and creatives, starting foundations and just going out and fundraising wasn't really what connected with us. So we wanted to do songs, you know, we do these burger things, we try and come up with all...
You did that amazing music
cool
video.
Yeah, I mean, you helped us launch our last one.
If I wasn't on it, I wouldn't have mattered. They would have forgotten I existed. You had every celebrity in the country on that thing.
And it's hard to do that, you know, and what Carbello is saying is right, is I think by virtue of the fact that 10 years later, we're still here, we're still making a noise about trying to make South Africa better and safer, has given us a certain amount of kind of credibility in the marketplace. And when we see young artists, young up-and-coming artists, you know, some of the things that are reassuring is they say, you know, I want to start my own thing. Mm. And it's that kind of drip-down effect that I think really is our legacy, you know. And when I was thinking about the genesis of Shout, I thought maybe in the back of my mind it had started when I was a young kid watching USA for Africa and We Are the World and all of these artists come together. And maybe that subconsciously stuck in my mind. And I thought, if I ever get this opportunity, wouldn't I love to take all the top musicians in a country and do a song for good? And you know, we did that. We got that opportunity.
That's a pretty good reason to do something anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Let's talk about the things people really care about. They don't care about your burger, really, unless they're hungry. How's the fatherhood thing going for you, Danny? It hasn't been a long time now. How old's...
Jaden is two and a bit, two plus vet, I think.
Now, that is the difficult age, right?
You know, they say terrible twos, but it's because I think they stop being kids, babies, and which you can direct everything in their lives, and they start having an opinion and a voice.
Yeah, my brother's kids are the same age.
Yeah, so like, but you know, at the same time, it's like having this living doll in my house that just makes me laugh all the time, because every new word he does, and he's definitely got my personality, is that he just wants to entertain everyone all the time.
Who does he look more like?
He looks like Lisa.
Really?
But he's
Lisa's
got
family.
Lucky child.
Yeah, he's tall. Yeah, yeah, he's lucky.
I mean, no, not that you... Listen, your father and mother, both good-looking people. Your sister's a very good-looking girl.
I'm very happy.
You're okay.
I'm very happy that he looks like my wife.
Yeah.
But we were on an aeroplane yesterday flying to Cape Town, and Jaden You know when the plane's quiet before the engine starts and like they've just done their briefing
check,
or whatever.
They've turned off that terrible
Jaden
music.
Jaden stood up on his chair, like with a full plane on whatever it was, BA, and sang like a 3-4 minute rendition of Old MacDonald. And I didn't know whether to be very, very proud or tremendously embarrassed, but he got a huge resounding applause from the whole place. And the guys from Good Luck were on the aisle opposite me. So the guy says, you know, he's getting more applause than his father these days.
That upset you.
You know what?
No, it didn't. He's
going to get hooked.
Because, funnily enough, a rabbi told me this. He said, you know, the thing you can never be upset about is if your children or your students outperform you.
That's a good point.
You know? So if your children or your students outperform you, then
you must have done a good job.
Yeah, and how's Zoe, Cabela?
Zoe's very well. She's just
thinking. How's Zoe now?
She's a year, 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how, like, when I was listening to you ask Danny how fatherhood is, and there's this thing in this, like, in the African culture, when, like, you know, when people see you raising a child, like, the comments they'd make is like, wow, you know, she's grown 1 year, 7 months. You guys keep on doing a good job. You've done really, really well. It's as if they're saying, like, you know, you haven't killed her. You know, she's still alive. And she's doing well. Like, keep on doing it.
Don't stop.
Don't stop doing what you're doing.
No. Don't stop feeding her.
And it's...
The obvious thing here is we've got to groom these two children to end up in love so that you can have a proper union with the families.
Dude,
right?
Listen, I don't know if I want my son rocking up at this oak's door to take his daughter out on a date because he can be hectic. He's going to be hectic. I feel
you
sorry.
You think he might be one of those fathers who meets the boyfriend at the door with a shotgun?
Yeah, I do. I've seen that side of him, you know, because he knows all the shit he got up as a young kid. So, you know, he knows.
I'm looking forward to like a 16-year-old trying to pull the wool over my eyes. we're only going out for something to eat. I'm like, listen, I wrote a thesis on what you're doing. So.
Now, just to turn our attention to something a little less happy, you both lost a very good friend in Mendoza not so long ago. Yeah. I think the whole country was upset about it. It wasn't shocking because we knew he wasn't well. And I always hear these news reports of people go, people are shocked. You know, the public are shocked. And I'm like, well, then you weren't paying attention. Yeah. So you didn't really care up to the minute you found out he was dead. But, you know, here was a guy who in so many ways was the first proper crossover artist. He was the first guy. And there isn't a white person I know, even from the most conservative, backward, cuck free state town, who didn't know Mendoza's music. And there isn't a black person who didn't laugh at white people dancing to that music at some point. He really did a lot for us, right?
And it's sad how it was in hindsight, you know? Yeah. I mean, even I also, you know, for me as well, something that I realized after he's gone that, geez, he actually, you know, when it was happening, you thought, yeah, well, whatever. But when he was gone, you realize he did a lot for, you know, building that bridge.
Do you think he was conscious of that? Like it was a
not sure.
It was a play or it's just something that happened?
I don't think
I'm
he
not
was.
Sure.
I don't I think he went, but I don't think he went out to...
But I think
write.
Him and Gabby could have been, the two of them amongst themselves.
What?
They
Gabby?
Just, they Gabby LaRue. Gabby LaRue was his producer.
Okay.
And Gabby's quite conscious, you know, in terms of
but I think, you know,
rewriting the wrong. So I think it did cross their mind, but they didn't think it would be as big as it was.
But what I'm saying is I don't think, like,
it was calculated.
When Ankalagata was written, they got in studio and said, let's write crossover, hit, and be this great, like, you
rah,
know.
Rah, rah, kumbaya.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think because, I mean, he had just done that Cheese Corp album. Mendoza went solo. And they needed, like, a big follow-up, a big single to launch his career. And I think that how it worked was because Gabby was white and maybe in his you know, consciousness, he wrote with a certain amount of whiteness, and Mendoza was very
but it was actually
classy, and he had that, and that was the marriage,
right?
You know, that may have
they were both very authentic people, is what I'm reading.
Yeah. You know, and then I mean, I'm gonna show you this picture.
Mendoza never put up any pretenses, right?
I'm gonna show you this picture. So this was driving from from the church in Soweto to West Park Cemetery. We drove down a random street where the funeral procession was going, and we saw this, just look at that picture. It's on my Instagram. This white, middle-aged woman,
Tani,
and her kid with
West of Johannesburg.
In the west of Johannesburg with no shoes, with a...
No, they got shoes, Danny. Don't be like that.
I swear the kid doesn't have shoes.
They're wearing fucking shoes, Danny. You don't have to categorize them as
poor white.
Okay,
wearing sandals, sorry. Wearing sandals.
They didn't have shoes.
They're both wearing sandals. But with a Mendoza poster with a broken heart. Mm. And that epitomized to me, Cabello and I were in the same car. We stopped to take a picture of it because we were like, if one photo says anything about what this guy achieved, it was that, you know, and he touched everyone.
Well, how long before the end did you guys get to see him individually? I mean, when last did you actually have a chat with him or see him on a...
It's funny, two weeks before the end.
Really?
The chairman... Gavin,
yes.
I think read an article.
Danny's dad, right?
Yeah.
That chairman.
Said, and then said, guys, we need to go see him. And I said, I'll phone him and see kind of how serious it is.
Yeah.
So I phoned him, and he didn't play it down, but he kind of played it down in terms of where he was at. But he did say he was going into chemo at the end of September.
It was brain cancer, right?
Yeah.
Yo.
I was going into chemo at the end of September, and then we should organize to come see him around end of September. I then phoned these two guys. I said, listen, he says he's going in for chemo. We'll check him month end. Month end never came.
Yeah.
So we didn't see him, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, didn't they made him perform at that SABC thing, and he was apparently so weak.
That was doff. They shouldn't have let him do that. But anyway, I think with him, I think he knew that it was almost...
You know, at his memorial service, it was like such craziness, you know, and it was like...
That was where Saudi used it as like a...
No, that was the funeral. There was a memorial service and the funeral. In fact, both were pretty...
Weird.
Nuts.
Mendoza-esque.
They were Mendoza-esque, yeah. Okay. And like, through all the craziness, we were saying to one another... Like, sometimes your funeral or your memorial reflects who you are. You know what I'm saying?
He would have been very proud of himself.
Like, all the people were jumping on stage. There was a fight in the stands.
One of his bodyguards was giving somebody the
stands. There was like, guys were running on stage and performing. We said, like, Mendoza would have absolutely loved this. It was just very, him.
Very him.
So, yeah.
They shut the highway down. On the way to the funeral.
They shut the highway down. It was really like, I've never seen a funeral like this. It was like a state funeral. I mean, they shut every road down. They had helicopters, police cars. I mean, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable to think of how, like Abelo says, we didn't, maybe because we were so close to him, we didn't realize how big a figure he was in the minds of South Africans. And because I think he had gone quiet, like, quieter in the last 5 years because of his illness, you know, he wasn't able to make as big a noise. We forgot about his impact, but
I'm always curious about these things. Now, I don't normally go to funerals. I don't like them. I pay my respect in my own way. Yeah. You know, and to me, Mendoza meant something too, but I wasn't as close to him as you guys were, and I would never have gone to the funeral.
Sure.
But is there a pecking order? Do you get assigned certain seats? Are the celebrities in a certain area?
There's always pecking order with everything, though.
How does it work? I need to understand.
I couldn't care because I don't get involved myself. Because I know it's there, and I know some people fight for it. And, you know,
But when they see you, is there a woman with a clipboard and she's, come in, Mother Line.
Do you know, there's actually a scripture that says, you know, when you're invited to a wedding, don't go sit to the front. Let the groom and the bride invite you to come to the front. So for me, with all these occasions, I always make sure that you sit right at the back until somebody says, come to the front. And I think the thing with these things, everybody kind of wants to...
Apparently Danny had a pink wristband. He went right to the front.
We were sitting at the back.
With
we were sitting at the back.
Yeah, the funny thing was is that the majority of the funeral was... The front seats were populated with people
ministers
that didn't know him at all.
Yeah.
had never met him. That was the weirdest thing. Like the guys that knew him and were close to him were sitting where we were.
It was like,
which were like 20 rows back.
It was like Senzo Miyiwa, same thing. The politicians used it as an opportunity to grandstand.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. I mean, we sat there, going like, really, there's a time and place for these things. And, I felt for the family because... For the family, it's very... the funeral's the saddest
Being
day.
Being told to pay their TV licenses when they've lost someone they love.
It was pretty crazy.
Madness.
That, it was.
But we did lose someone really special, and I know you guys were both close to him.
It's
but the legacy that he left, listen, 39 years old to go is with three kids. Is just a crazy thing. But like I said to his son was standing next to me just after, seriously, they lowered the coffin into the ground. And I just said to him,
the son that you spoke to?
So Tokolo's, what's he, 16? So he must be 16. I mean, he's a tough young guy, but can imagine what this must be like for him. And I just said to him, the only thing I could think of is that, what your father did in his lifetime, most people can live three lifetimes and really not do that,
So true.
And that's all I could say to him because his dad just lived an amazing, amazing life. And you felt that, like, on social media, after he died, you just really felt how big he was.
Do you ever, when you're at these events, because this is what happens to me, you start thinking about where you're at in your life? Huh? You start thinking about that stuff. You start going, "Oh, what did they say about me? What would they write on my tombstone?"
I was definitely thinking like,
we all thought we're never having a funeral this size. We were like, "This guy, who the hell's going to do this?"
Well, I got news for you. If one of you dies first, because you won't die at the same time, they're going to keep that one on ice until the other one is ready.
One of us is just going to have to commit to throw one hell of a memorial service for each other,
for whoever's left.
But the good thing about the Jewish religion is that
you have to go in
quick
the next
and fast.
Day.
You go in the next day,
quick, fast, and cheap.
And cheap, that's pretty
cheap.
Cheap
is very important because these coffins can bankrupt the family.
It's very true.
Jewish coffins, but the mati box.
Yeah,
let's not be glib about this because I think the two of you have done a lot in your lives too. I mean, if you think about Mandoza dying before he'd even turned 40, people could say that the two of you have achieved in one lifetime what most people couldn't in three. But is there still stuff you really want to do?
Of course. I mean, I think. Yeah, definitely.
I'm not saying you're finished. Don't get
No, for sure.
Don't read any nastiness.
I'm not.
When I look at the kinds of things that people might say about what I've done or what I haven't done, I don't know that it's enough. I feel like I'm really underachieving.
Yeah,
you.
Big time.
Because you've got an entrepreneurial personality. And I think entrepreneurs and people that want to build and grow and create. I mean, Gareth, I met you when you were... I think on 702.
I don't want to talk about me.
But I'm saying the point is, if I look at your journey from there to where you are now and where you'll be in 10 years or 20 years,
I saw once? They said visionaries never ever have their accolades in their offices. So they'll never have, stuff they've achieved.
Awards.
Or four trophies because it's like, it's the
that
past.
Then,
Are you always looking forward?
Definitely. I mean, for me, I'm always cognizant of if something excites me that I did 10 years ago today, then I start panicking because it means I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. It's a good point.
I do feel like an underachiever. I really, really do.
Yeah, same here. That's why I brought it up.
But I think successful driven people will never reach the finish line.
Yeah,
their own minds. You can't.
Sure.
If you ask Zuckerberg now, you're happy because you wouldn't turn off the engine. It's never.
I spoke to a guy on Wednesday. I had lunch with a guy who's in his 60s. He's running a big company, huge company, and he's doing stuff. And I said to him, "So, I mean, you're not going to retire anytime soon, are you?" He's early 60s. He said, "Well, maybe 2-3 years." I said, "What are you going to do?"
Yeah.
And then you think about it. There are guys in their 80s and 90s that are running corporations these days, doing amazing stuff.
But I think you need to be, you can still be driven, but you got to be content where you're at. because your whatever you achieve shouldn't determine you being content. You should be content with, you know, all your successes, failures, and whatever, where you're at right now. Mm. Because that when that's in place, I think you won't attach your success to, you won't attach your happiness to your success.
Would you, if I could give you a ticket now, would you go back to being 25?
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
What for? I would hate to go back to 20. I was such a loser.
No, I'd do over.
Still
I'd,
better.
I would. I'd be really honest.
You would?
You'd go back?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, you were a bit wild in your 20s.
I wouldn't.
I would.
Think about all you'd be giving up on. Zoe, Gail. You don't know how your life would turn up.
Wisdom. Like, aren't you better now than you've ever been?
Is it not to make today better?
No, I'm saying if
or just to go back as things were, and then you like throw in the dice and you don't know where you're going to end up now.
Would you prefer to be the 25-year-old
Cabello
or where you are now? Yeah, you see.
No, definitely.
I reckon that's a good place to be. Yeah. Then you know you're doing okay.
Never. I always think of my 21-year-old self and how fit I am now. I think, yes, I'd kick that oak's ass big time.
How's Gail doing? No, you would. You would have
Cabello
been
was a lunatic.
You would have disapproved of yourself.
This guy was a lunatic. Yeah. He was the craziest.
Well, in those TKZ years, you guys were...
lunatic.
You were balling, though. You had the life of... You guys were doing all the fun stuff that everybody else wishes they were doing.
I was petrified.
You lived large.
They were nuts.
Shit, man.
Gail's good to answer your question.
Yeah, thank you. You changed the subject very quickly. He stored that one.
He's written a whole book on this. I mean,
No, that's true. And she's also, I see her all over the place.
Yeah, she's
even though she's
nice.
Supposed to be looking after your children.
I think her busyness makes her a better mother. Seriously.
No, she is. No, absolutely.
When she sits, she goes a bit...
So what do you guys think of the American elections? I know that you're both paying attention to the news.
I'm loving this
election. Isn't it great?
I mean, it is like...
So much
God
fun.
Forbid he wins, but...
is he going to win?
No, please.
I took a bet with someone because, you know, the problem with... Hillary supporters is they think, there's no chance that Trump will come in.
So
they're not going to go and register, and you start to register to vote in some of these
100%.
Places. I think there's a chance.
It's like the idols guy who comes in second. That's, you know, everyone assumed would win, so no one voted for it.
Very true.
Right.
And then they're like, how did he lose? Because no one voted.
There's a chance. But there's also this funny thing going on. I'm sure you've picked up on it in society where people are just tired of political correctness, and Donald Trump represents...
He's the anti-politician.
Yeah. And sometimes you, just because you're fed up with where things are at, you rebel and you choose someone to represent you who's really bad for you.
Mm.
It's like when someone is unhappy in a relationship and they cheat, knowing that's the wrong thing, but they do it because they feel trapped.
Yeah.
It can have dire consequences.
Have you seen that cartoon of the wolf politician? He's a wolf in a suit and tie, and it's over a meadow full of sheep, and he says, "Elect me, I'll eat you all." And the sheep are looking at one another, going, "Well, at least he's honest."
That's the whole thing.
That's like Trump going, "I'm going to stuff this all up, and I'm going to do it." And they go, and Americans are going, "Well, you know."
But what does that mean for us if he does?
Well, for us, it's nuclear war.
He hates South Africa, by the way. He thinks this is the most terrible place.
Yeah,
he tweeted many times about South Africa.
It's a country of losers.
Dangerous. Yeah. Horrible place, not safe. He hates South Africa.
Don't you think he feels that way about the whole continent?
He feels that way about the world outside of America.
And outside of Russia. I mean, that's his.
Oh, yeah. That's his best friend.
But,
Putin are best friends.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's
it's been the most incredibly entertaining.
Listen,
it would be cool for him to win, to actually just see how things turn out. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
it would be very interesting to watch, what an experiment to be a part
of. Because Hillary would be like, we're on the same treadmill, the world just would carry on as we know it, you know?
Right.
It would be interesting to see if he did, maybe, I don't know.
Yes, you sound like a Trump voter.
No. For the first time, I'm actually like
Make
thinking,
America
you know what, maybe
white again.
Maybe it's time for change.
No, but I don't think you've seen enough of what this guy is actually saying.
I have.
Do you two want to see the Public Protector's Report come out today?
Yes, please.
Mads, do you want to see the Public Protector's Report?
I am salivating.
Is she bringing out today?
Well, the president's trying to stop her. He's interdicted her to stop her from publishing this report. report. This is very, very big.
Last we heard, she had met with her
and
lawyers.
And it's her last day on the job.
So what does that mean? Does it mean Monday, whatever you come out with, you can't... So she can publish it today?
I'm not sure. The last thing I heard was that last night she met with her lawyers and they were strategizing on what decision she's going to take on this attempt by the president to stop her, to interdict her. So maybe we'll find out today what her next move is.
But have they interdicted her? Has it gone?
Yeah, it's gone out.
There was a letter of intent. I don't think they required the interdict.
Jesus, well, just watch the news. The next 24 hours could be very exciting.
So what does this mean for our president?
Well, it just means he gets away with it again.
No.
But they can't interdict. They can't scrap the report.
If she publishes the report, then we find out how deep this state capture thing goes. And then there could be all kinds of
consequences. But I mean, Gareth, let's be frank. Is it really going to tell us something we don't already? Everyone, I mean, it's just going to be...
But what I'm saying is, with Thuli's, her day coming to an end today and the delay, does it mean Saturday's like, well, you've got no jurisdiction, so
because then if the report says that they need to... there's certain actions that need to take place, then... Those will be either taken over by the next public protector
on
Monday
morning. She's been clear that her priorities are something else.
She's saying service delivery, blah, 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 but she's got to pay. She can't throw out things that Thuli's left her to deal with. So she just wants to get the office moving faster, from what I hear. And then, you know, the courts can be brought in. If there's a preliminary finding that there's a problem here, then the judiciary kicks in, there are parts of the executive that have to kick in, the legislature kicks in. Listen, you could see the president's between a rock and a hard place at
but
the moment.
Is he political genius?
He may be. He certainly has survived like a cat with nine lives.
How has he survived?
Yes,
is it possible? The amount of fraud charges, corruption, how does he survive this?
Well, you guys have met him so many times like I have. He's the most charming, friendly, lovely, amiable, sociable guy. You just want to say to him, come, let's go and have a coffee together. He doesn't drink. So, come, let's go and sit and talk. I want to talk to you. He seems like such a cool guy.
So, is it? It's fascinating. I don't know.
It's the politics.
How deep this rabbit hole goes. It's just
very deep. Scary places.
Have you ever had a gig paid for by the Guptas?
No.
Okay, we're just going to clear that you're not part of state
We've never met
the Guptas. We were on ANN7 the other day.
Huh? You were on
the closest we've come is to be interviewed on ANN7. Okay.
But
I'm saying in the past. That's the closest we've come to the Guptas,
Boy,
thankfully.
It's already the end of the show. I thought we'd have a lot more time. We could talk forever. We could Hana and...
Congrats on the Touch Central vibes. Moving to Benmore, to that very nice building.
You've been talking to Tabo, huh?
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, okay.
But
you guys get along, though.
It's not... Yeah, I guess.
Touch.
Yeah.
Where are you moving? Guy.
Moving
well,
to...
We're
what's
here for now.
Called?
We're still talking about this. Capitol Hill.
Is it happening?
I don't
know. It's a nice building.
We've got to figure it out. We've got to be able to afford it.
Touch.
It's a really cool building.
That's what I'm thinking.
Touch will sort it out.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, YouTube.
Congrats.
Because,
and keep going.
If we have your support, it can only work.
Whenever you need us, we're here, brother.
Thank you, dude. Same goes. And everybody, all you lazy, fat people looking for something to do this Friday and you don't care about anyone.
Have a burger.
Have a burger.
Yeah.
And without you even knowing.
Before 12 o'clock.
You can have one now. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
You could
before
be the most
12.
Cynical, horrible, selfish human being in the universe. And helping yourself to a burger would still help other people.
Yeah. It's a pretty good deal.
I know.
It's almost as if we've counted out your evil intentions. And turned them into good. It's amazing. Danny Kay, Kabelo Mabalani, thank you very much, both of you, for coming to see us. Give my love to your lovely wives.
Thank you,
and
Gareth.
Your happy children, and may you continue to be prosperous and to keep making the difference.
And multiply.
Yes.
Go forth and multiply.
Go forth and multiply. Be happy. And love to you both, and thank you for doing what you do with Shout.
Thanks, Gareth.
This is CliffCentral.com.